and welcome to the North Decatur Presbyterian Church Sermon Series. We're a PCUSA congregation in Decatur, Georgia. If you'd like to find out more about us, go to ndpc.org or just come by and visit. Here's this week's sermon.
Let us pray. God of light, you have revealed your very self to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, who lived among us full of grace and truth. Open us to your revelation once again, that in the words of your Holy Scripture, we might know your presence and follow in your light always. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes from Luke 2, verses 15 through 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see about this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the word of the Lord. I am so happy to be worshiping with you today. I have been so blessed by the ministry and support of North Decatur, so I'm just so happy to be here. And I just want to acknowledge that our scripture may seem strange for summer worship, a Christmas text on the first Sunday of July, but David said I could preach whatever I wanted. And I don't know about you, but I needed some good news in this time. And I was attracted particularly to this text because I've been thinking a lot about our faith and the great scandal of the gospel. See, I have been on a grand tour of church conventions and general assemblies for the last few weeks. I work now as the faith engagement director of Compassion and Choices, and it's the oldest and largest nonprofit dedicated to end-of-life education and end-of-life issues. And so I work with clergy, teaching them how to integrate end-of-life issues into their ministry. And so in that role, I have worshiped and convened over the last 3 weeks with the Unitarian Universalists in Pittsburgh, the United Church of Christ in Indiana, the National Baptists in Kentucky, and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship here in Atlanta. And next week, I'll be in Baltimore with the Episcopalians. It's been quite the tour. And I've learned in this tour that you can tell a lot about how a church thinks about the incarnation by how it programs its annual gathering. By the keynote speakers, by the workshops, by the worship leaders, and by the issues discussed. Jesus was born in a specific moment in history to a specific people. But some of these annual gatherings are often answering this question in indirect and indirect ways: who is the incarnation for? And I've been heartened that so many denominations and faith communities are proclaiming that the incarnation is for all. I've seen plenaries and panels and workshops on racial reconciliation, trauma-informed ministries, accessibility and disability justice, LGBTQIA ministries, poverty, social justice, climate justice ministries, health equity, criminal justice reform, affordable housing, ending Christian nationalism, and so much more. Congregations around the world, just like our own, are reconciling the problems of our society with the possibilities and the promises of our faith. In our scripture lesson, God's promise has been fulfilled. Christ, our Savior, is born. On that holy night, we imagine that Mary is coming to terms with what it means to have birthed the Messiah. In the previous chapter, Mary famously proclaims in the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary knows her great mission. She knows the promise that God has entrusted to her womb. But I imagine on this silent night, this holy night, she might be feeling both amazed and a bit terrified by it all. This promise has become a reality, a living, breathing, moving, crying, nursing baby in this manger right in front of her. There is no longer theory or promise. She is not just birthing the Messiah. She is now tasked with the nurture and care of this holy child. So I imagine that she has moved from this triumphant promise to now tending to the details of this promise. This teenage girl who's been entrusted with this holy, world-changing mission is not immune from the mundane chores of it all. She still must contend with the ordinary, the census taking, the 90-mile hilly trip on foot in harsh weather to register, the birth pains, the labor, and now the care of this baby. The learning curve that all new mothers face, along with a trek back home on foot. The scripture gives us no indication that Mary's holy assignment confers her with any VIP status. There is no birthing suite for Mary. She's not even granted space in the main house of her temporary quarters. On this night, Mary, the woman who all will call blessed from generation to generation, can't even get privacy and a real bed. And in this account of Luke, we don't even get the wise men traveling from afar bringing exotic gifts. Nope, we get ordinary shepherds coming in from the fields. So how many of us have been there? How many of you have been tasked with a divine mission from God? God has given you a glimpse of your holy purpose. God has shown you a vision for your life. God is asking you to birth something, a ministry, an invention, a better you, a relationship, a reconciliation, a movement. Yet getting there seems overwhelming. And it's so, and also just so ordinary. God isn't making it easy for you. You're not getting the VIP treatment to get there. There is no lottery jackpot that would just allow you to sit back and do this thing full time. No big break that will make things happen quickly. No phone call from Oprah or Mackenzie Scott that will automatically guarantee you success. The folks that you need help from to get this vision in line are not getting in line. The process to start this thing is not clearly laid out for you. Yep, even when our mission is holy and divine, the process still seems so very human. To write our book, we have to carve out time to write. To start our mission ministry, we have to develop the mission statement, write grants, raise the money, solicit volunteers. To build our movement, we have to roll up our sleeves and do some tasks that we do not want to do. The process to these holy ventures God has for us do not look like a ride on a sleek, first-class, high-speed train. It looks like a slow walk up a dusty, rocky road. And I saw churches in the last few weeks grappling with this, imagining the incarnation as an invitation for all, but the all aren't coming. Folks are working on this holy mission, learning the right vocabulary, creating the right spaces, doing the right things, but still their memberships and their money are dwindling. There's no VIP status. The calling is coming at a great cost, and the cost can be crippling. Being for all is much harder than being exclusive. But the problems of these new missions aren't spectacular. They are so ordinary. They are procedural. They're budgetary. They're personnel. They're logistics issues. And the miracles seem few and far between. One of the great scandals, the miracles of the gospel, is that God came to us in such an ordinary and human form. The Christmas story really shows us the real power in every day. But in the midst of Mary's very human birth experience of our divine and holy Savior, another miracle happens. Those shepherds out in the fields are visited by an angel of the Lord. The angel tells them about the birth of Christ, and they set off to find that baby in a manger. They find Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, just like the angel said they would. And scripture says, they made known what had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Absolutely love that passage. The shepherds don't arrive with gold and frankincense and myrrh, but they provide something much more important. They come bearing confirmation, affirmation, and encouragement. They say to Mary, it may all seem ordinary now, but hold on, this is going to be extraordinary. Mary's reaction to the words is to treasure them, to place them on the altar of her heart. Their words become a great gift that she preserves, ponders, and protects. This young girl is given language to help her make sense of this epic journey that she is on. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what the shepherds say to her, but I imagine that their words became a gift that she holds onto when her adolescent son is teaching in the temple, when he should be traveling with her, and the promise she clings to when her son is off preaching with a motley crew of 12, and even when her baby boy is hanging from a cross. This story teaches us that there is something about being in community that makes God's promise real. God tells us who we are and whose we are, but in times of doubt, it is the words of those around us that reinforce our holy purpose. The words of the shepherds mattered. Their words became gifts to Mary. Their words were able to become treasures for Mary because they listened. God showed up, and they heard God's message. How many times are we too distracted to hear God's Spirit speaking to us? Perhaps God has asked us to contribute or support someone else's mission, but we were too busy to act on it. The shepherds listened, and they acted. They didn't say, how nice that the Messiah is born over there in that stable, but these sheep can't tend themselves. Nope, they heard God's words and acted on them. They knew that their presence was important for this miracle, so they showed up. And once present, they could truly share what God had shared with them in a way that deeply touched Mary. And once they had completed their mission, they returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God. We are called to act in the same way as the shepherd, to listen for how God is calling us, to be present for others, listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance in how to encourage one another. People would have us to believe that the words of others don't matter, that our faith alone should sustain us, but that's just not the biblical model. We have Mary, the mother of our Lord, to show us how vitally important the voice of our community is in helping us propel us past our ordinary tasks into the holy and enduring legacy that God has for us. I loved getting to see this at all the denominational gatherings. Exhausted church leaders being refreshed by community, affirmation, and encouragement, and also challenge. I was reminded of how we serve a God of community, a God who came to earth as a defenseless child, not born into privilege, born dependent, relying on the kindness of others. And I think about God's call on this community here at North Decatur. I think about how often church work seems mired in the ordinary. The unlocking and locking of doors, the cleaning up, the buying of refreshments, the church work days, the committee meetings, the cleaning, the budgeting, the accounting, the maintenance of the building, the printing of the bulletins, the ordinariness of it all. But know that God is birthing something extraordinary here. And part of that birthing process will call some of us to be like Mary, surrendering ourselves in an act of faith for a holy mission, with implications that will be revealed. And some of us are called to be like the shepherds, bearing witness to this new life, granting treasured encouragement along the way. And I pray that this season will bring us opportunities to play both roles, that we will be Mary birthing our holy missions, and also like shepherds bearing witness to this holy birth and sharing presence and encouragement. It's not easy work, but it is holy work. Our mission is divine, and it is both joyous and terrifying, but we are equipped. So in these summer months, may we remember the wonder of Christmas. May we live in the invitation of the incarnation. Christ has come for all. Amen.